Hey everyone, this is Paul from the Bowman Podcast, and we're here to talk about Ethics Archery. Ethics Archery makes some of the most precision components in the game. If you're a hunting enthusiast, competitive archer, or just a plain outdoor and sports enthusiast, you will love these products from Ethics Archery. Inserts, outserts, field points, anything you like, stainless steel, aluminum, any kind of configuration, mix and match. Visit them at ethicsarchery.com and get your parts today.
Get ready to aim true and hit that target with the Bowman Podcast. Join us as we dive deep into the world of archery, hunting, and all things outdoors. Whether it's tracking down that elusive elk, bagging a trophy buck, or honing your skills at the gym, we've got you covered. With decades of experience, we're not just talking the talk, we're walking the walk. So, lock and load.
Locked and loaded.
Because we're not just aiming for the bullseye, we're hitting it dead center. Get ready for laughs, camaraderie, and a whole hell of a lot of testosterone. The Bowman Podcast, where the hunt never ends, and the stories are always legendary. And now your hosts, Paul Romano Jr., Troy Forrester, and Cedric O'Hara.
Good evening, everyone. This is the Bowman Podcast coming at you here live from Virginia. Well, one of us anyway. Well, two of us anyway. We got some good guests here for you today. We got Mr. Dirk Stark from Stark Growth. Say hi to everybody out there that you're going
howdy,
preaching
howdy
out there to thousands out there. Big name in the industry, regards representing a ton of brands, Silent Night Veins, Litnox, Zing Zang, Ballista Crossbows. Et cetera, from there. We got Mr. Noel Evans, Final Descent Outdoors. I don't know on your screen, but on my screen, he's dead center on it. So he's there with that beautiful buck again in the background. He's also our contact at Ethics Archery. Ethics, some of the best inserts in the game. Make sure you check him out, ethicsarchery.com. Troy Forrester, my partner in crime up there in Ohio. We're here. How you feeling today, Troy?
Oh, it's back winter time here. We had a little tease of spring, and then we got about almost 2 inches of rain in the last, I don't know, 48 hours or so. So everything's flooding, and the lake I work at's full. And
yeah, here too.
Going crazy here. So, but yeah, I wanted to take a quick second. I know we always try and do it at the end, but I wanted to thank everybody for all the support so far. Thank you guys for getting on this podcast with us. I know it'll be a good one. And yeah, we're excited.
Great. And we got Mr. Hayden Pence. Hayden's a good friend of mine, comes into the archery shop. He's a good client of mine as well. And he is a mental health specialist. So we're going to talk the dark side of the industry and what a lot of people out there don't want to speak about. So we're going to talk some mental health problems, what we can do to work through it as individuals. And it's okay. But we'll get there. Hayden, say hi to everyone out there.
Hey.
He is, trust me, he will be able to talk. he'll go. No, Hayden is out of, you're out of Virginia Beach?
Newport News. So
Newport News.
About
yeah.
45 minutes. And then I work in Gloucester, just probably like 30 minutes up the way.
Okay, great. Yep. And I'm out of Culpeper here. So pretty close by, comes in all the time. You hunt over here in similar grounds to me. More mountainous areas over on the other side in Luray. So, but yeah, we're gonna get going here. Noel, I heard you were chasing some turkeys, but ended up catching a lot of bass.
No, yeah, we ended up catching a lot of catfish that weekend. So,
oh yeah,
turkeys just went quiet on us. But I think we caught over 100 pounds of catfish, 1 6-foot alligator gar.
Nice,
had a good time.
Y'all ain't right, Noel. We just had ice off here in Minnesota.
It's funny. I'll post a picture of a fish and Dirk will text me, dude, it's like 41 here. It's like 22 here or something. I got 6 feet of snow and you're catching bass.
In a t-shirt.
Yeah.
Oh, that's funny. Well, that's good. You got to get it going. One luxury of Virginia here, Hayden, is our fishing season doesn't end. It goes straight through. So we can fish year round for whatever you want. So, I mean, obviously there's better times to do it, but hey, you know,
Hey, we can too. We just drive our trucks out on ice.
Yeah, no, I'm not doing that. I have my limits, you know, when it comes to zero or below zero in a hut drilling through the ice with my truck on it. No, I mean, the cabin, the fireplace, the bourbon looks a lot better.
Yeah. There you go.
Yeah. Dirk and I've known each other a long time, and I'm glad he's never asked me to go ice fishing with him, because that's one thing I was, bro, I'm good down here in South Texas.
Yeah. Yeah. There's not much ice out there in Texas, so.
Yeah.
You're good. Troy, you ready to get any fishing? I know you caught a record over there at the lake. What was it, a couple years ago, right?
Yeah. Let's see, about 2 years ago. Well, it was actually about this time of year. I think it was April. I want to say April 18th. It's coming to mind. April 8th or April 18th. I caught, it was a 53-inch muskie out of the spillway here at the lake. So nice. Yeah, it was big enough. Right there with up there with the state records, just didn't weigh enough. So
wow.
It was huge fish. I thought I was snagged. Fishing for saw guy coming out of the spillway, and my snag started swimming down the river, so I went after it. And that's a crazy
toad.
Story. There's a whole story to it. I ended up jumping in the water and going.
I was gonna say
it,
so. There's more to that story, because
it's wild. I got it was actually snowing, and luckily I worked there, so I know how deep the river was. And when I saw her tail, and I was like, oh my, that's the biggest fish I've ever seen in my life. So I went after it.
That's crazy.
The kid in me came out and ended up getting her. So it's pretty cool.
Awesome. Awesome.
I'll have to send you that picture. You can tag it in here.
Yeah, let's do it. We'll put it up. It'll be an overlay.
I think I ended up going a little over a quarter mile down river. I had like 10-pound test line, and it was just steadily spooling my reel. So I jumped in and was running down the river. I had my cell phone in my mouth, and
that's hilarious.
It was wild. Snow was coming down. My wife wasn't too happy because I was actually supposed to be working, but you know.
That's the bad thing. You end up getting something like that and you post a picture and wife's like, weren't you supposed to be at work?
Yeah. Well, I got off.
He was. The other day. That was last week when I caught that.
Yeah. I just got off work and went down, and it wasn't my fourth cast, and it happened.
Cool.
And it's pretty cool. Once in a lifetime fish. So.
Right.
Absolutely. Well, hey, we'll post some pictures of it up here, and maybe we'll finish the story at the end.
Yeah. So.
All right, Mr. Stark, let's talk about Stark growth. How did I know you were a special ed teacher back in the day and transitioned out into the outdoor industry? Let's talk about that. How'd that transition come about?
It actually started 33 years ago. I was doing seminars at Bass Pro and Cabela's and Shields and Runnings. I made turkey calls back in the day out of wing bones and deer antlers, and started doing seminars. And pretty soon I was pro staffing, and that was before the internet, you know?
Yeah.
And so that's how that started. And then I got going with a company called Commando Game Calls, and we launched that and Strutner Energy Shots, and then Flying Air Archie, the Toxic Broadhead, and the first pattern for Sitka, and just Tacticam. I work with Ben Sternum. We launched that brand. So just all that stuff was happening while I was teaching full time. So it was crazy. It was crazy stuff. And then about 12, 15 years ago, I just made the jump, and just I took 45 days of unpaid leave from school 1 year to go on seminars and do trips and stuff. And I thought, you know, this probably isn't right. I think it's time to go full time in the industry. So that's kind of how it started. And then I started with brands and doing things, and just really, I started out doing the marketing, and then pretty soon doing the sales and TV relationships and product development. For 7 years, I designed tree stands, ground blinds, and ice fishing products for private label and OEMs. And now I work with several brands, own a couple of them, and do all the sales at the box stores as well as distributors overseas, and really been everywhere in the industry, from pro staff to seminars to doing anything, and really, really blessed to be able to do that. And learned a lot of things through the industry time in 33 years, and sometimes, you know, the egos get the best of you in the industry. I see that happen with a lot of people, and it did to me. And, you know, you just come back and go, okay, I'm a new person now and need to find out what's right and what's most important. And, you know, and Noel knows about that too. And you just, you do. And when, if you're doing things the right way, it makes a difference. So yeah, but really blessed. And Silent Night Veins and Flex Fletch out of Minnesota. And, it's interesting. They were the first non-feathered vein on the market in 1970. And really, they didn't patent it. They should have. And they really got in the target side of things. And back then, target side of things was, you know, archery wasn't much here in the U.S. in the 70s. And so they got really globally. And for 45 years, they owned the world archery market. 90% of their sales were international, and literally millions of veins go across the world every month of Flex Fletch products. And 3 years ago, we got started with the Silent Night and launched that and worked with different shows and different folks like Noel and different people. And now literally we're working with Bone Collector, Pat and Nicole, Driven TV, Headhunters, Respect the Game, The Given Right, Small Town Hunting. I mean, it's crazy the number of people that are saying, hey, we've heard about these veins, we want to shoot them. And they're different. They're, you know, they're lighter. If you've seen them, Paul, they're thinner, much thinner than the other veins on the market, lighter. And the biggest thing is that they're made in with a process with polyurethanes instead of plastics. So you can bury them in a target, bury them in a bulk case, and they'll come back to shape on their own, even through in cold weather. So it's a really unique factor. The target people love them because they're so durable. Once they get on, they're not coming off, and they don't tear as easy as the other ones. So that's really been my job for the last 3 years with Flex Fletch and Silent Night, is educate about how how they're different. And really, they haven't had the marketing budget, but they've really went under the wire and owned the industry. And so that's one of the brands. And that's kind of how Noel and I got going with that originally, I think, was with Silent Night and Flex Fletch, you know, years ago.
And Silent Night, I mean, there's a reason for the name too. It's not just, you know, they really are durable, but I mean, they are so quiet. It's crazy.
Yeah, Noel, you've recently had an experience with that, right? Where you were shooting, or your buddy was shooting, and then all of a sudden
shooting. Yeah.
Yeah.
He was shooting. I forget if they were AAEs and... Anyway, so he was shooting 100 yards, and we were about the 50-yard mark, kind of sitting in the garage and at the ranch house. And, man, I was like, man, it's just amazing how loud that arrow is. And it was coming out of a brand-new Matthews lift, so it wasn't a bow. Right. You know, it was just – you could just hear the noise.
Right.
And so I walked over to my truck and said, hey, look, why don't you shoot this arrow that has these Silent Nights, and let's see what – and it was it had to have been at least 50% difference in sound. I've never really – I mean, I've heard it, but I've never heard it like that before at that long distance.
Yeah, we had to dial it in because we were talking about half the sound of any vein around, and that was done in a sound chamber. But really what it comes down to is, if you look at it, if you kind of snap this, the vein comes back real slow on itself, where some of the other veins, they snap like a playing card. Yeah. And that's where you get that that flutter going on it. And that's really what it's coming from, as well as just being aerodynamic. They're much thinner, so they cut through the air. I mean, they were designed by an aeronautical engineer from 3M. So it's not just the side profile, you know, it's this looking down the arrow profile that really makes a difference on them. So crazy stuff, and really cool to be a part of a brand like that.
Yeah. Well, I know you have all these big names and TV shows and all that shooting your veins, but you should feel really special. My 9-year-old son chose Silent Night veins and will only use them on all his fletching. So he's like, Dad, they're just quieter. And I like it quiet. I'm like, well, okay, great.
So well, that's great.
I can attest, Hunter doesn't mess around either. He's
serious. Yeah.
No, that's awesome. That's great. I mean, send pictures. And, you know, if you've seen our stuff, like, especially with Flex Fletch, you know, Flex Fletch is the parent brand for Silent Night. So, but we really try to include the youth in that. We really want to be focused on that. And you see that we're doing stuff not only with Mike Schlosser and Sarah and Bone Collector, but average everyday folks. And that's just trying to show that we're... It's everyone using it, not just paid celebrities.
And one thing I noticed, obviously, I own a shop and we've ripped through veins like crazy, is that where, you know, you have that little, like, kind of, it's a T, right? And the bottom of the T, upside down T, base. Connects to the arrow, and you glue it on, right? 90% of the fletching tears right above that. Like, it'll be adhered right on the arrow, but then if it goes into something, it tears right there. These veins don't do that. I haven't found one yet that tears at that impact point.
Right at that. And I think part of that is it's the polyurethane instead of plastic. So when you, if you know, hurt that other plastic can crack at that point, we've heard other people, you know, cold weather that they'll shoot through an animal and the vein breaks off, you know, in cold weather. And this is, you know, we got people in Canada and Alaska shooting them and stuff. So yeah, it's crazy. So it's great to hear that, Paul. You know, the other part of that base is it's so micro thin compared to others. And people say, well, it's a little bit harder to glue or fletch on, but it actually allows a really nice helical because it's more flexible than others. So, yeah, but cool stuff.
Yeah, but I mean, especially if you're using wraps, it's not that difficult. And if you're not, you know, put a little bit of primer on there, you're golden. A lot of people said that, you know, your first couple might be a little bit different, but once you've done a few, then it's just like any other thing. To me, it is.
Yeah, I haven't had any issue, you know, adhering them to anything or clamp time seems to be, you know, pretty consistent. So a nice product there. So they have anything.
Which glue do you use?
So I was using the TAC primer pen and glue for a long time. Honestly, then it got expensive. So I went to Zingcling. I use that now primarily on all mine. And what I like about it is it.
Yeah.
When you first cut the tip, it's like a pinhole in there. Mm-hmm. So you're not wasting a ton of glue. Number two, it dries completely clear. Like there's there's some glues that you use where you could put it on a gold tip arrow and for some reason it turns white and it annoys the hell out of me. And then you got to strip it and then you got to do it all over again. And now, you know, your profits are in the tube. So,
part of that is because those are siren acrylate super glues. And so our Zing Cling is actually a blend of our Flex Bond, the original glue that was on the market. Another company actually took the product and remarketed. But that Flex Bond is a little bit slower dry time, but it's really thick and jelly and more flexible and durable. And the Zing Cling is actually a hybrid of the quick drying super glues and the Flex Bond. So it's not really a true super glue, but dry time is 12 to 15 seconds for me, you know, on that. So, yeah, but it has that flexibility in colder weather that a lot of the super glues don't have.
And the good thing about it is you can use it not just on veins, you can use it on components too. I trust it on the components, you know, where a lot of vein glue, you can't, you know, you put it on, you know, your components, it's liable to fall out on you, but it doesn't with Zingcling.
Yeah, that's interesting. Yeah, and don't have to use the primer pen. Obviously, we love people to do that, but you really don't have to. I don't have the patience usually to do that.
typically, if it's a new arrow, I don't do anything. If I'm refletching, I usually use like an abrasive cloth, and then I'll rub some alcohol just to get the fibers off and go from there. So if I can skip a step and not have to use a primer pen, then I'll skip that step. Trust me.
Yeah, I mean, you know, most of us, we're going to wipe our arrows down before we put them on there anyway. You just get to make sure you get the oil off and you're golden.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Well, that's great. So anything new coming down the line for these brands for this year that you can
in January we launched new colors for the Silent Night. That our clear one has really been a big thing. And then that new glow vein, that's been really, really popular.
I got to get some for hog hunting.
Yeah, one of those glows. Right, those are pretty cool.
So are they legal everywhere?
The glow veins?
The glow veins? Yeah, there's no I know there's electronic. Some. Oh, yeah. I guess you're right. Yeah. That's true.
Yeah.
Didn't even think of that.
Yeah. We came out with a new light and knock, but I won't talk a lot about that because Noel is here.
we don't want any fighting.
No. You know, that's what's really cool about the industry. I think is that if you've been in it long enough, you can be friends that do other things and still respect each other and boundaries. When I was with Flying Arrow Archery, I remember being in a booth and having to go to the bathroom, and the guys from Ramcat were right next to me. And when I came back, the guys from Ramcat would be selling broadheads in my booth, and I'd jump in theirs and sell Ramcats, you know? Yeah. And that's if you can go in the industry and respect people and do things back and forth, it really is a great thing. And that's, I really appreciate that about Noel, that we've had that relationship.
Absolutely.
Yeah, I think that's something that is kind of going to the wayside here a little bit in the out there with people. So if we can all kind of, you know, think through that a little bit more and have that respect, I think we'll all be better off.
Yeah.
So that's huge. That's awesome. So, I mean, I know we weren't going to talk about it originally, but I gotta mention it. So what's all this craze with this ballista crossbow, man? I see it out there. I see you pushing it everywhere. You're shooting everything with it. That young kid I see out there, he's knocking that thing back and shooting it everywhere. And
I was 5 years ago, I was anti-crossbow. I was like, I will never shoot a crossbow. But if you look around, I've got recurves up here. I've got an Elite, a Matthews, a Gearhead. And this has been, you know, it's not a 50-yard crossbow. It's a 30-yard crossbow. And for most bow hunters, that's where you need to be. But, I mean, it is so fun to shoot because it's so easy to cock. It's quiet. We shoot prairie dogs at the ranch. We've had deer, hogs, turkey, bear, bow fishing with it. It's really easy. What's cool, it has the device you can you can use bow press, so you can press it yourself, you know, very easy to do the cables or the strings. And it's under $500. I mean, it's crazy how nuts so it is. And we put the stock on it and now it's rock solid. Yeah. So,
well, it started off as like a pistol, right? When it first came out.
Yeah, it was just a pistol, and then we had a foldable stock. That's still an option, but some states require a fixed stock for lengthwise on it. So and it's just way more stable. But it's so compact. When you cock this thing, you know, you cock it like that. That's how easy you cock it, and look how compact and portable it is, right?
And it's like a six shooter for a crossbow.
it is, and then you put the safety on, pull it back. Pull the trigger and you can decock it that easy.
Oh, I mean, Jesus. That's cool.
I'm not going to lie. When you went to cock that right there, in my mind, I'm like, no, don't do that in the house. But you just proved that it's easy and safe and everything else. I'd never seen that done before.
Yeah,
I don't know if that happened to anybody else, but me, I'm like, no, don't do
that. Yeah. We have the Megabat now that is, it's that Megabat is shooting 407. I just got a Husqvarna scope for it. We're going to sight it into 150 yards. And so, I mean, that's the anti part that I have struggled with as a bow hunter. Going, oh, geez, a crossbow shooting out 150 yards. And, you know, there's a thing. But there are some people that want to do that, you know? So to me, we're all.
Or they have no other choice, right?
Right. And so, you know, it's $1,000, but it will do what it needs to at 150 yards, you know, and obviously you can't freehand that. You need to put it on a tripod at 50 yards or this little ballista at 30 yards. You don't need a tripod. You with the stock on it, you're golden. And to me, that's just like bow hunting. So when I'm out turkey hunting or deer hunting, one day I'll grab a recurve. One day I'll grab the Matthews. One great day I'll grab the ballista, and it's just fun. I mean, still. But it's a pretty darn cool when you can bow fish this. I'm shooting 35, 40 pound carp with it too. And I mean, it's a nice. Lot of fun.
Yeah.
So,
hey, yeah. I got it.
So now you're addicted, huh? So you're addicted to it now, huh?
You know, there are days I'm like, oh, this is so much fun because it's so quiet to shoot compared to other crossbows. You know, if you've ever experienced it, it feels like the bigger ones, it feels like you're going to have something blow up in your face, you know, or lose a finger. And this, it's just, it's so fun. But I still like to grab the recurve and go out and wax them some things. Or, you know, I head out to the ranch on Tuesday, so I'll be bringing the recurve, the crossbows, and the lead out there. And so we'll see what we can put down.
Didn't that little crossbow win like crossbow of the year or something, right?
Actually the bigger one, the Megabat, actually won best bow of the year at ATA.
Oh, that's what it was.
Judges, I mean, not just compound, I mean, not comp or crossbows, but it won the best
overall.
Yeah, it won the best overall. I mean, it's crazy. It's, you know, it's the Megabat. It's still more compact than regular crossbows, but it has a two cock handle system that you need to pull it up. But literally, this is shooting 407 feet per second. And with this Huskama scope, it's going to be dialed in to 150 yards.
Jeez.
Well, yeah,
hey.
So it's...
I mean, you're going to be able to punch in wind calculations and distance and all that and just push a button, yeah. Right?
Well, that Huskama scope has a turret, so you can do all that stuff on it. And they're a great rifle company, you know. So, again, it's not for everyone. But it's fun to have the opportunity to be able to play and try different things. You know, if you Absolutely. Don't do that, you've just got to find what feels comfortable for you, you know?
Yeah. You know, I've said it many times on here. I'm not anti-crossbow at all. I like ragging on people for using it because I love hunting with a compound. But I'll be the first one. Like, I shot my buck in Ohio with a crossbow this year just because right. it was, you know, farther than I thought and what I wanted to. Right. And, you know, I didn't feel comfortable with the compound. But... You know, I'm a big advocate of anyone who, if we can keep anybody out there hunting and in the woods for as long as they can, and to teach somebody. My kids started on a crossbow. I mean, they were 3 years yeah. old, you know, shooting compound and crossbow. And my son shot his first deer this year with a crossbow. You know, he also shot his first one with a rifle as well. But, you know, for me and where we hunt out here, and Troy, you know how we hunt out here, is it really replaced the rifle for me, the crossbow. Just because, you know, I have a safe over here full of rifles, but, you know, what am I going to shoot him 40 yards at a deer, you know, with a 300 right. wind mag or a 6.5 or something right. like that? Like, you know, what's the point? So that really replaced that for me. But, and I'll tell you, owning an archery shop, there's a ton of people that come in and they don't even care what the price is. They just buy them. They just want them. That's Hayden. <I'm> Hayden. But they always wait till the last minute. It's like November. Yeah. Like, give me a crossbow. I'm like, okay.
I still think they need to change the name to cross gun, though. It's not true.
Yeah.
Yeah. The thing, if anyone ever.
I don't think it's fair to consider it archery, though. I will agree with that.
Yeah, it is different. It is different. I it's just hunting for me. But if anyone is going to get one of these small crossbows, you're going to want to order about 2 dozen bolts, because normally when you buy a crossbow, you get about 3 bolts and you're good. Mm-hmm. You don't shoot enough. Where this, I mean, you're shooting at everything. I mean, we take.
Well, it's so easy to load. So that, you know, that makes a difference right there. You know, you cock a Raven or a 10 point after 5 shots, you're like, I'm done. Yeah. Like,
yeah. You're wore out. Know.
Yeah, even cranking it, it's like,
right. So that's what I tell people, dealers especially, order more bolts in your shops, because you're going to sell a lot of them, because people are going to lose them. They're going to be shooting at squirrels and everything with it. When I sold my last farm place, people said, what's all these arrows in the trees? I was shooting at red squirrels up in the trees with those bolts. They're mid cushioned everywhere.
That's funny.
But lighted knots on them, it'd be like Christmas.
Yeah. So, cool.
That's stuff. Awesome. That's awesome. Yeah. Sweet. Well, I wanted to bring that up because I saw something come up today on social media about it. And I was like, I'm going to ask him about it. I want to see it. I want to see the smile on your face when you talk about it.
Well, it is. It's once like the buyers of Shields, I took it to Bowfest and they were like, oh, I can't do another crossbow. And as soon as they started doing it, they were just like, give me another bolt. Because they were having so much fun with it. And I think that's the big thing. You know, the bigger one is still that Raven kind of thing, that mentality. Yeah. But this one is so much more fun to shoot for families and stuff like that.
Yeah, great. So now who made it? Who developed it?
Some folks out of Florida. They're actually from the Ukraine that moved here. They've been here about 10 years now, and they're doing a bunch of stuff. Now they're launching a new throwing axe and some other camping gear and stuff like that. So, it's been kind of fun to work with them.
Great. Well, that's interesting. Well, hopefully they were able to get out of there and, you know, they don't have any family over there going through all that drama. So,
yeah, it's been kind of tough for them.
Oh, yeah, I'm sure. So now who are they still independent, or who bought them out and who's branding it?
Nope.
Like,
no, it's
all
it's
three of
them. Yeah. So
I guess one of my last questions here for you directly about you and your business is, so put yourself in a hypothetical situation, right? Say I make these earphones, right? And they're big and, you know, they're a hit. So I can come to you and say, what do you think of this product? Send you the product, send you the data research, send you all that and say, will you grow it for me? Will you expand it? Is that something that you do? Or because I know we have a lot of people that are in this specifically that watch this platform that are young entrepreneurs that have a lot of products, specifically in the broadhead industry, that are, you know, just say it how it is. That's what it is.
Or deer pee.
Or deer pee, yeah. you know, they're going to look at this and they're going to want to know, and I know I'm going to get a million emails about it of like, hey, can I talk to Dirk about X, Y, and Z? So let's lay it out there, the details before, you know, save me the days of emails.
No, it's pretty cool. After all this years of experience, I've learned that you have to find something that differentiates itself from everything else. And like the veins, you know, there's no other material like that. The crossbow, there's nothing in that niche. Velvet Antler Technology is nothing in that niche. So I actually talk with about five different brands, 3 to 5 brands a week that come to me with, hey, can you help me with this? And if it's just a different color or a different shape or a different in a different bottle, food plot, you know, most seed comes from one certain place, you know. I just say, I can't do it because you're going to have to spend so much in marketing to win that market share to differentiate yourself. If the product doesn't do it on its own, you're going to have to spend millions of dollars on advertising. So I really tried to find products that are unique to bring on board with, because otherwise it's going to be so costly and such an uphill battle for them. I also teach once a month at the tech college, product development and design. And so they bring me into the class. So we talk about questions. The first thing I always ask is, how does your product solve a problem that people have in the industry? And if it doesn't solve a problem, then it's probably it has to solve a problem first. And then can you make it cheaper, faster, lighter, stronger, and ship it lighter than competition out there? That's the biggest thing, you know? So that's the first thing that I always talk about. So deer pee, how do you make deer pee different than other deer pee? Deer pee is deer pee, right? And broadheads, there's so many broadheads on the market, and they all cut, you know, and it's shot placement. I mean, look at Noel Evans. I mean, he's Mr. Shot Placement. So he can just drive a broadhead in. So if it's not significantly massively different, it's really who has the most dollars to put in to win the market share. And so there are things that I really look for in products. You know, this Vezercare line of vet products that I work with now that I own, that's another thing. So that's the first thing I would always ask someone is, how is it different and significantly different? And what problem does it solve to make life easier for a hunter?
Got it.
I think that's big. I can tell you, I can tell you a couple of years ago that there was a Dirk had a product that he was kind of excited about and had told me about it. And then I asked him a few days later about it. And he was like, oh man, no, it just wasn't what I thought it was going to be, you know? So, you know, like he was saying before, if it's not something that he feels comfortable with, you know, I've seen him actually, you know, not do something because of that.
Yeah.
And I think that's a good thing to have.
Yeah, that's the best way to go about it. Yeah. You know, is I think the question of does it solve a problem really will eliminate a lot of that out there. And a lot of that, let me put my time, money, energy, family, et cetera, behind this in order to go that route and, you know, not have to have, you know, someone like Hayden on here to talk us off the ledge when it doesn't work out. So we're going to segue here into our second half of this. And Dirk, I'm glad you're on for this as well. You know, being a special ed teacher in the past and segueing out of that, I think you can add a lot to this as well. So I appreciate you jumping on during this, but we're going to swing over here to Hayden and we're going to jump into the meat and bones of this.
To the Bowman Podcast. If it's archery, hunting, and anything outdoors, we're talking about it. Now, back to the guys. Paul Romano Jr., Troy Forrester, and Cedric O'Hara.
And I think the five of us here, individuals that hunt, fish, have families, have kids. We live in the outdoors. We all have separate careers and different stresses. And, you know, we also have baggage that comes along with that, whether it's ex-military, ex-family issues or whatever that might be. So Hayden, kind of let's start off, talk a little bit about what you do kind of just roll with it from there. And then guys, feel free to ask questions as we go about, because I think this is going to be a prominent topic here that's going to set us apart from others. So.
Right. So you have to forgive me too, because I've been sick for the last day. So if I end up coughing randomly. So I work, it's called the Community Services Board. And there's various ones that kind of go throughout Virginia, and each state does it a little bit differently. But I work in it's the Middle Peninsula Northern Neck Community Services Board, which is in kind of like, if you're looking at Virginia, it's east, and it's kind of almost that whole area. And I work on what's called an ACT team or a PAC team, and the ACT stands for Assertive Community Treatment. And so I'm working with individuals that have a diagnosis of schizophrenia, schizoaffective, as well as there's a few who have major depressive disorder, and then, substance use that kind of sometimes tags along with that. And so what I do is, because it's a very team approach to this, so I work with, I believe like nine to 10 people, but they're some of the greatest people in the world. And I think having that team approach when doing this makes it all the better, because you can go back and say, man, that was really difficult, that was really hard. And they can say, I know what you mean. And then, having a great supervisor too is kind of where that starts. And so I've been very fortunate to have had or still have a great supervisor where I can go to her and say, hey, I'm just, having a situation with this individual, this is what's happening. And, she's a boss for a reason. So she can just say, bam, this is what I would recommend. And so, cause you're just not always going to have the answer. And I think it's okay to not always have the answer, but being able to kind of lean on someone for it, for assistance is good. So we also work in with a psychiatrist and a nurse practitioner, a psychiatric nurse practitioner, both of which are two of the smartest people I've ever met. They meet with, our individuals, prescribe the appropriate medication, and then, adjustments down higher or lower, whatever is, recommended. And then, I'll be responsible for delivering those medications and, going over it with them. I do things such as like mental health, like skill building. I do, I'll take them to and from doctor's appointments. I'll sit with them through their doctor's appointments. And then, there are some instances where I'll apply like therapeutic interventions. That way I can, assist them. But, each individual's with what they need kind of differs. What X person needs is not what Y person needs. And so kind of sometimes I just have to flip the switch in my brain. Some people require kind of like a poke with the stick. And then some people are just they're good. They're really good. I work with making sure that they, have food for the week. I work with making sure that, they have assistance with paying bills, with cleaning up, if their apartment is a wreck, if their house is a wreck, I'll sit there and I'll help them go over it with that. And then, every single day at 2 o'clock we meet. So it's the entire team, and we have about, I want to say around 50 people that the whole team kind of works with. And at 2 o'clock we meet, and we start from A and work our whole way down to Z. And each individual we get to, we say, someone says their name out loud, and we say, met with them, discuss this, did this, this is what's happening. That way the whole team gets a chance to kind of apply like recommendations and strategies that would be best. Like I said, and we do that all the way, usually about an hour it takes. And if it's something that's seriously going on, it'll can sometimes run to like 3:15.
So real quick, so this is all practices that happen once someone is diagnosed or working with you originally, right? So this is kind of your go about and how you do that. But let's touch on a little bit of what would bring someone to come see you, right? Or what is the difficulty in someone trying to come see you? Or if, you know, let's just use me for an example, right? Like you come into my shop and whatever, and we sit down and we talk for hours about whatever all the time when you come in. But like, so I say, hey man, like I have a question about this, right? And then I'm like, no, you know, like I don't want to talk about it, whatnot. How do you go through and start that process initially of breaking that ground with someone? Because, right, we're men. Let's talk about it. Like we may be a little pompous, we may have a little machismo, we may have done X, we may have done Y, whatever, you know, we may be emotional, we may not be, but at the end of the day, we're all really hard to talk to at certain times. So let's, I guess, encompass that whole thing and that start of that process of how an individual that's sitting in the turkey woods saying, what the hell am I going to do with my life? I just lost my job. I just, you know, my kids are struggling in school. My wife is about to leave me. Like, what do I do? You know, let's start from there.
Right. Yeah, that's a great question. So I'll just touch on this real quick. So for someone to come be a part of our team, we'll get a referral. So there's different kinds of like departments, if you want to call them, throughout the agency. And I'm just on the ACT department. Yeah. And we'll get referrals. Sometimes our psychiatrist, who's kind of runs the show a lot of times with, you know, with some individuals, we'll get referrals and then we'll go meet them with wherever they're at, as long as they're within our catchment area, which is fairly large. We'll go meet with them. And sometimes we get there and they're like, you know, we have to ask certain questions, and it can be uncomfortable questions a lot of the times, and, you know, and I always preface it by saying, you know, with what you're comfortable with sharing, please let me know, and then just go at it from there. But sometimes, you know, it's very, very, very minimal, very minimal. It's just yes, no, yes, no, yes, no, without really going into any kind of.
Hey, do you think the stigma comes in with it because it's such a clinical type setting that a lot of times people have a hard time coming to that? You know, I've had this past year, I've had three different friends commit suicide that were friends through the industry. And a lot of it had to do with they wanted to do things on their own. They were afraid of going to a counselor. They were afraid of that kind of stuff. And I think that's what you were getting at, Paul, is how do we break that bridge or bridge that gap from someone who's in the system already to someone who's never had any experience with counselors but is struggling? And where do you go next? What's the next step of how do you break that ice from being isolated inside with your problems to getting the next step?
Right. Yeah. So my biggest thing is just surrounding yourself with support. So being with people that, you know, you kind of feel comfortable with sharing, but like oftentimes, like you said, we're men, sometimes we just have a hard time with doing that. So, you know, my biggest suggestion would be just to feel comfortable with speaking about what's going on internally. And it's very mm-hmm. difficult to do that. And it's just one of those things that's easier said than done. But getting to a place, like if, you know, I go meet with someone and, you know, they say, I don't want to talk about it. You know, my next thing would be like, that sounds, you know, really difficult. Is there anything that you could say to kind of give me some indication and just kind of provide an atmosphere where they feel comfortable to share? And again, you might not get anywhere in that first time. It might be the second time you go and see them, but continuing to show up is what's the biggest thing. And, you know, usually throughout time and, you know, kind of being the person that's there to say, like, it's okay for you to share some of this with me. They slowly start to open up. I work with people now, when they first met me, they didn't want to say anything. And now after a couple of weeks to a month or so, they're like, I feel comfortable with saying this. And then it just keeps going. And, you know, we call that building rapport.
Right.
And as I further go along, the rapport gets built.
I think it's hard in a clinical setting a lot of times being a special ed, you weren't always supposed to talk about yourself in those settings, because it was all about the client. And I think Noel knows this because of the groups and stuff I've talked about, is that a lot of times I can help break through to people because I tell them about stuff, really hard things that I've went through,
right?
And was, you know, we call it being vulnerable. You have to be vulnerable first and be honest and really lay it out in line. If you care about someone, you do that first, and then that helps, you know, you. And if you can build friendships where you can be vulnerable with each other, I think that's maybe me being the old guy. Paul, you're probably in your early 40s. I'm 55. You know, Troy's just started shaving, it looks like, here.
Yeah, I'm older than you think, I bet.
Yeah, and Hayden's there. But I think as an old guy, I've just learned this, that, you know, take the time and be honest and just, you know, call someone out on it and let them know that you've been vulnerable in times in your life to be on, you know, with things. And it goes, I think, a long way. I know a lot of my team members know I've been done that. And I get calls at 2 o'clock in the morning about stuff, and you know, because I've laid it out on the line. And I think that's, you know, that's what I ask of friends and family right now, is to be really honest and transparent and not really even worry about all the counselor stuff. And I mean, that's what you're doing, Hayden, is fantastic stuff, but it has that there's such a big gap from person who's struggling inside to get to that part. And we as hunters, you know, I think, Noel, did you see that post after my last friend died? I talked about the ranch and about, you know, that we have to take the time and be there and be honest and be transparent with each other, because that's the first step I think it's the safety net. The first safety net you can is have those friends that you can really spill your guts with and not be judged.
Yeah.
So I'm sorry to cut you off, Hayden.
No, you're good.
No.
Yeah.
Him too. I was going to say, you know, coming from my background in the military, I retired last year, but I medically separated, and anxiety and depression was one of the issues amongst many throughout the years of the military service with mine. And it's kind of we all see it all the time with, and I don't, you know, Paul, I've never even talked to you about any of that stuff, but, you know, as men, you know, we internalize things and we hold stuff in until there is a breaking point at some point, you know. It doesn't matter how strong you are and how big and bad you are, as they used to say, you know, or whatever. At some point it all ends. But that whole thing of being vulnerable is the opposite of, you know, I guess the military culture, or like, you know, even as I catch myself, you know, to my son, you know, he's only 3.
I'm like, take it off.
You know, or even like, there's nothing to cry about. You know, like, what are you crying for? What, you know, those things are just ingrained in us as men and as boys, you know, and growing up, to just push through those emotions and fight through it. And, you know, my mentality was always just, we'll work harder. You know, if there's an issue or there's a problem, you know, we want to provide, we want to fix that problem, and we want to work harder. And I know myself, I ran into it after all the years in the military and all the deployments and all the time away, that there is a wall, you know, and we see it with the 22 a day, you know, the different things, that there is a wall. And unfortunately, I don't even know how many guys that I've known that we've lost, or friends of friends of mine that we've lost. I mean, it's almost, I would say it's almost probably more than once a month throughout Facebook and all these other, you know, social platforms, that I see someone I know or a friend of a friend that has committed suicide. And, you know, it's just one of those things, like you said, you have to be able to be vulnerable. And where I'm going with this question is for you, Hayden, and anybody can chime in, because this topic is so deep. You know, we could talk about a million different routes and, you know, my experiences and your guys' experience, and anybody listening and can hopefully relate to all these different experiences. But the question I have, Hayden, is from your point of view and your career field, because that is your career field. I know, especially in the military, we get briefings all the time, you know, so EEO type briefings, which is, you know, and then sexual harassment briefings, suicide briefings, all these things. And over the years, it's become almost white noise, you know, and I hate to say that, but you can preach and preach and preach and preach, but if the audience isn't connecting and doesn't hear it, you know, how do you, from your point of view, break through that? And it's a lot of times, And I know my experience, I mean, I've been a supervisor for years and I've had troops that have had real serious issues, you know, and I myself have battled my own demons over the years, but it's the people with the true issues. You know, I've always been told, you know, the real killer in the room or the real warrior, if you will, is the guy that doesn't talk about it. You know, the real person that's been in the shit, per to say, you know, you'll never know they even did it unless you are close enough to them that they trust to tell you those issues or to tell you those demons. So when it comes to the white noise of like, you know, let's fundraise for suicide awareness, or let's go to this class, or let's go to that class, and let's harp on it. It almost, how do you break through that white noise of the same old thing every time? Oh, it's the same suicide briefing. Oh, it's the same commercial I've seen on TV. You know, how do you break through, or how do you suggest someone break through that isn't familiar with that arena? You know, if you were looking and you say, okay, well, I think my friend might have an issue, but, oh, you know, he'll tell me when he has an issue. You know, what would your suggestion be to get through to them, you know, to get through to somebody?
Yeah, no, that's a great question. Like I was said earlier, you know, being vulnerable. So if you know someone who's struggling or who's having that hard time, you know, and they've just been hearing the same, like you said, white noise and just something that's just, they just hear and hear and hear, kind of taking the time to go up to them and just be like, hey, man, I noticed, you know, maybe this was kind of different, kind of out of character, if you will, you know, for today, and just promoting that atmosphere of feeling comfortable where they feel like they can share with you, and just saying like, hey, it's right now, you know, it's just me and you. Like, there's no one around. I'm not going to tell anybody. If there's something, you know, you feel comfortable sharing with me, go for it, you know? And, you know, they might say, nah, don't worry about it. But that's where you have to keep showing up. You can just keep showing up, keep showing up, keep showing up.
That's so nice and polite, Hayden.
Yeah. So,
you know, being older now, I just call bullshit on it, to be honest with you. I mean, it's, to me, when I see friends bleeding out inside emotionally, you know, because that's really what it is. We don't think about it because you don't see it on the outside, but they're bleeding out on the inside. You got to go in for hard first aid for them, you know. And I had a friend that was out at the ranch, and he was divorced and he was drinking like crazy. And I just called him out on it. He and I out at the ranch and just said, man, I love you, brother, but there's some crap going on and we need to talk about it, you know. And I think that's, to me, and maybe it's, you know, when you get to be my age, Hayden, maybe you'll get there. but I think I've just seen enough friends that have went through stuff that I think it's our job as men is to call a brother out and say, hey, I know there's something going on, not to tiptoe around it and just say, let's talk because you need to talk. You know,
I think there was a good thing you threw it in there, Dirk, was, you know, you said, you know, you're like, I love you, man. You know, like you're a brother to me. I had a guy, a very close friend of mine that I was in the military with for years and years. We spent every day together. And one of the crazy things about the military is, you know, you might spend months or years with someone every single day. And then the day comes, you got a PCS, you got to leave. And you don't realize it at that moment. You know, it's just like anything in life. You don't realize it. You may never see that person again. They may be your best friend. And you're saying bye. You know, you're saying, all right, I'll talk to you later. You know, as if they're leaving and they get in a car wreck, you know, you never see that person again. Well, my friend actually is near here working, and he came over to the house this weekend, and I'm not kidding. It hit me like a ton of bricks when he got out of his truck, you know, and it's vulnerable to say that as a man, you know, but the emotions when he got out of his truck and he smiled, and I was like, holy shit, like, man, I even told him I had to step back, you know, And he even expressed it, you know, verbally. He said, man, he's like, Troy, honestly, I never thought I'd see you again, you know? Mm-hmm. And it just hit me like a ton of bricks, but it's like being able to tell somebody, look, you know, I don't know what you're going through and I don't have the answer. And I've led with that a million times because I might not have the answer. I've probably lived through a similar situation, but to tell them, we don't even have to have an answer, you know? Right. And a lot of times there is no, this is the right answer. And Hayden can probably guide on that too, is there a lot of times there is no right answer, but you have to be able to get that out. Yeah. And, be able to get it out and to express it, you know, and like my friend coming here and spending the time with this man, that like, it just brought all those emotions up and all that stuff. It's like, wow, you know, how much people really do mean to us that we don't talk about and we don't bring up.
You know, right. That's really cool. I mean, I think that's one cool thing is that with hunting, that was part of my post when that last friend died that was in the industry, is so many of us and we take veterans out to hunt and we take our friends out and we go out to hunt and we're, you know, in Minnesota, we always talk about that. We talk side by side. We never look at each other when we talk side by side. So we take our friends out to hunt and we do stuff, but we talk about hunting, but we don't ever get to the real hard stuff. And I think that was my challenge or my call out to people in that post is when you're going to go out in the woods with people, take the time to do that and don't just hide and get away. Take the time to talk and not escape, mm-hmm. You know, because I mean, how many of us have done that with friends? We're just like, we got to get away. We go out and we talk about everything else except the stuff that's really important in our lives.
Yeah. And I think we can jump in there with the last point I have with that exact. You keep sparking these thoughts in my head when you bring stuff up too, was Noel's probably laughing because I normally don't talk this much. I normally just smile and say, yeah, and take notes of all the stuff that's being brought up. But
you're normally just a pretty boy with a smile.
Yeah. With this one, you know, it hits close to home. Cause I mean, I've lived through it. I've seen it firsthand and unfortunately, you know, experienced it. And I don't even know where I was going with all this one now, but it's just being vulnerable and being able to tell, you know, lean on the tough topics. And I've had supervisors in the past that, you know, we may be working on a job, this project, we may be deployed or whatever. And I've had a couple really good ones that would sit me down and I'm thinking I'm in trouble, you know, for X, Y, and Z or whatever the case may be. And they say, no, like the job doesn't matter. You know, I care about you, like what's going on with you, you know? And I know you guys have hopefully experienced similar situations where whatever's going on in life, you know, they're too drunk in a bar, they're doing this, they're doing that, they're causing issues, they're having marital problems. It's like those problems are probably, you know, the reflection of the true issue that's inside of you. You know, like you need to tell me what's going on. I don't care about X, Y, and Z. Like, we'll sort that out later. You know, you need to talk to me as in what's going on, what are you feeling, you know, what's inside of you, not the reflection that we see, you know, the bad habits, if you will.
Right.
Yeah. So I think real quick, Hayden, so what would be some signs for somebody who, you know, obviously we all know our friends, right? We all know who's close to us. We can tell when our best friend is, you know, something's going on. Like, I mean, maybe I just have a sixth sense, but I can always tell when something's not right with people. But, you know, say you're this, right? You know, it's how do you know, what are some signs of someone where you can be like, you know what, maybe I should ask a little bit more. You know, maybe I should take that approach that Dirk just said, or take that approach that you said of asking those pointed questions to get that answer. Mm-hmm. So what would be some signifying, you know, attributes to go that route?
Yeah, that's a good question too. So, you know, it's a really complex question, right? Just because different signs show up for different people. You know, you may be with someone and they're the happiest that you've ever seen them, and think you just may not think anything of it. And then you have some people who immediately recluse themselves. So I'll know people who will just, you know, they'll just stay home instead of going places. Maybe they're not texting back. Maybe they're not calling as much. Maybe they're doing things sporadically that they just never had done before. And then you have people who are just like, you know, like, unfortunately, like hide what's going on behind them, behind the smile. And, you know, they're just there and they're happy. But, and that's the kind of situation where you just have to be like, hey, is, you know, everything all right? You know, and like you said, like, sometimes you do kind of have to call them out. If you have that relationship with them, you just say like, hey, like, I'm just going to be honest with you. You know, I know you've had some issues in the past, maybe, but this isn't, I'm just noticing something that's just not really like you. You're just so, you know, you're so happy, like just all the time. And, you know, like I said, just calling them out. I might not be as rough with my call out, but just, but just saying like, hey, but you know, some people I know, they'll.
You're paid to be nice, Hayden. You're paid to be nice.
But I can be stern when the moment comes. Right. So like, I still have a long ways to go with experience. I'm 25. I just turned 25. So I have a long ways to go with, I have a long ways to go with the experience, but yeah, just the signs. And then, you know, having a conversation, like, you know, I just, you know, you're just, you're not, I don't see you anymore. You're not calling, you're not texting. I'm trying to reach out to you. You're not saying anything. I just want to make sure you're doing all right. And you might get like a half answer. I'm just like, yeah, I'm good. And like, no, but you're not good because, you know, we've been hunting every weekend and now you just like have no interest in hunting. You love hunting. So those are kind of some of the telltale signs of, you know, what to look for. Like I said, it's a really complex question because each person differs like that.
Yeah.
You know, some people, you know, bury themselves in the gym, just bury themselves in the gym, which is, you know, I promote physical health all the way. I think it's great. I love the gym. But you know, for someone, you know, who goes to the gym, you know, like 3-4 hours every single day, you know, it's kind of like, well, what's going on outside of the gym that's making you want to be in the gym 3-4 hours a day? I understand that's like a comfort place. I understand that you like to be there, but you're there 3-4 hours a day, you know,
yeah.
And just,
is that what's happening like to Noel? Is that what happened? Is happening to Noel Evans? He's in the gym like 3-4 hours a day. Cause I just see him bulking up.
That's not bulk, son. That's
those
not
are Twinkies. Twinkies.
That's 55 and not being able to exercise like I used to.
Yeah. No, I think you've nailed it on the head. Is looking for the one-off signs, and I know we're staying really high level on this because this can get very deep, right? And right, unfortunately, yeah, no one really wants to listen to a 3-hour, 4-hour podcast talking about, you know, each individual circumstance because it's all individualistic. And I think I've had a lot of exposure to this in my past and have given a lot of advice and everything. And I think the number one thing that both Dirk and Hayden has said on here and what I wanted to get across was to don't stop showing up.
Yep.
Right. Don't stop showing up as a friend. Don't stop making that phone call. Don't stop texting. Don't stop going out of your way if you feel there's something wrong. Because how many people I know that have stopped or said, you know, I'm guilty of it. My number one saying as a friend, and I'm a terrible friend, is the phone works both ways, bro. Like, you know, you don't call me for a month. Like the phone don't go one way, man. Like it goes both ways. Like that's just anyone who knows me. That's my motto. I just, and I've been working on that as I get older, but that's always been my thing. So, you know, I'm guilty of that as well, but whom have I let down? Right. In that scenario. So I think that's, for me, that's a big one. Especially if it's someone close, or maybe it's someone that you're just exposed to and you just get that feeling and you're just like, man, I know something's off, right? Like, hey man, let me get your number or her, like, let me get your number. Let's talk. Let's get coffee. Let's go, you know, have a drink. Or yeah, are you going to be here tomorrow at the gym? What time are you going to be here? I'll be here too. You know, it was cool talking to you. Little things like that.
One of the things I do is I'll send out a text and just say, hey man, just doing a buddy check. You know, I hadn't heard from you in a while, or you've been acting different, you know. But if you use that, hey, just doing a buddy check thing, it doesn't come off like you're prying. You just, hey, man, how are you?
Yeah.
You
know,
you're buddy to me.
And it ties right into everything. You know, Dirk, you said it earlier. It comes up a lot on the podcast is we want to do things the right way. You know, we want to promote the outdoors. And just like this, trying to talk about it, trying to get, you know, more people comfortable with these issues, you know, and who knows, somebody listening to this might sit there and think, okay, you know, I have noticed my friend has been doing this or my friend's been doing that. And I've been nervous to upset them by saying something to them, but maybe now they'll say something to them. You know what I mean? So it's just, we want to just like you want to leave the woods better than you found it, you know, pick up the trash on the way out type of thing. You know, it's time to lean on each other, you know, as friends and as men and promote the outdoors, promote hunting, promote each other outside of just, hey, toughen up, you know, suck it up, you know, whatever. Here, have another beer. You know, that doesn't help anybody. You know, we gotta lean on each other and look out for each other.
Absolutely. I think you're 100% right. Well, you know, a couple of things I did want to throw out there here coming towards the end of the cast is there are a lot of local networks that you can visit. You know, Hayden, I'm sure you have a bunch of local, there's phone numbers, there's 988, that's your suicide crisis hotline that you could dial anywhere if you need somebody to talk to or if you need a friend. Is there any other sort of interactive, immediate attention that someone can call or Google or chat with that can help, that you can put out there for individuals?
Yeah, absolutely. So like I said, the Community Services Board, for which I work with, you know, they're spread out throughout the entire, and I'm just talking just for Virginia. Each state does a little bit differently, but for Virginia, you can call those numbers and they have a crisis that you can go through with them. And if something's happening, something's going on. And then, you know, if it's something that's, you know, immediate, I worked in an emergency department in a hospital for 9 months doing, working in behavioral health, you know, be that people that come in for, you know, suicide attempts, maybe they were in having a manic episode, just anything along those lines. You know, if it's immediate and it's emergent, the hospital is a resource that can be used. You don't want to, I guess, overuse it. And what I mean by that is, you know, anytime you're like maybe just having a bad day, because you can have bad days, you just go straight there. You know, it's, you know, an immediate emergency use, that is something that can happen. And unfortunately, you know, a lot of outpatient therapists, you know, they're booked up 3, 4, 5 months. But calling the Community Services Board, the 988 number is great. Having people in your life, you know, I'm sure there's people that you don't talk to every day, but you could call them and say, hey, I'm having a bad day. How have you been? I haven't talked to you in 2 months. You know, those are resources that you could utilize too. And just resources along those lines as well.
Yeah. Pastors are free.
Yep.
Yep.
And a lot of times they will, it's like, client, what is that? Client privilege, you know, it stays between you.
Absolutely.
So, yeah, right. You know, depending on what, what you need to get off your chest, that might be the best route.
I'm bound by HIPAA as well.
Yeah,
absolutely. So, you know, anyone out there that might be struggling or knows someone that is, don't give up. Keep talking to them. If you are one listening that you're struggling and you're going through something, reach out to your friends, reach out to us, on Instagram, email. We all have, you know, all our stuff is posted all the time to reach out to. Like, we are open books 100%. You know, we'll have Hayden's information put up there and the Community Services Board and all those numbers and emails for you to reach out to. But just know that you're not alone. Right. You're not alone. We all have our issues. We all have our things that we go through. And if it's an emergency situation and you know someone that's at that point, please dial 911 to make sure that you get them the services that they need immediately to go through to save their life. So, you know, Hayden, Dirk, Troy, Noel, thanks for coming on. I appreciate it greatly. We'll probably have to do a part two to this to get into a little bit deeper. To graze off the surface here, but I think it's a good segue just to, you know, let people know that, you know, yeah, we may come off as humble individuals or big bad hunters or, you know, whatever we do out there, but at the end of the day, we're human beings, right? And we all care, we all have families, we all have friends, and you know, I'll do anything for anyone on this cast at any point in time. So you know, just keep your head up, keep going. And there's that saying, right? You only get so many Septembers in the world, you know, in your lifetime. So make sure you have the ability to see every one of them, and enjoy each one of those sunrises and sunsets. So you don't want to miss one. Life's too short. Anything else before we head out here, gentlemen?
Sounds good. Thanks for having me on. Appreciate it.
Go.
I was just going to say, last thing I want to add was, you know, don't be afraid to, you know, a lot of people stop because they're afraid to upset someone, you know, like, well, I don't want to ask them and make them more upset. Well, if you feel it in your gut that there's an issue, you know, there's probably an issue. So don't be afraid to talk. And like Paul said, you know, reach out to us online. You can talk to us, ask us more questions, give us more topics that you guys want to touch on with this. You said, this is ocean deep, so it could go anywhere.
Absolutely. So, Dirk, where can people get this ballista crossbow here before we sign off? I'm asking for a friend.
Yeah, right. There you go. I think you might have a friend's email
Ballista.co, we are going into several retail stores this fall and things like that. But for right now, Amazon, Ballista.co, or check with your local dealer to have them order them up.
Great. Perfect. With all right, everyone.
Bolts. Yeah.
Yeah. The extra bolt package, please.
Yeah, exactly.
All right. Well, everyone, thanks for coming on. This is the Bowman signing off.
You've been listening to the Bowman Podcast. Every show is a testosterone-fueled adventure. If it's archery, hunting, anything outdoors, working out, we're talking about it. Thanks for coming over. We hope you enjoyed the show. If you did, give us a like, rating, review, and subscribe to the show. Hook up with us on Instagram, Facebook, and YouTube at the Bowman Podcast. Be safe out there, and we'll see you next time on the Bowman Podcast.